I was just talking to the actors from the Theater Institute at Sage about their whole process of putting on a show. And during the break, because I was in that mode, I started to ask Rich Honan about his process. and he has one. And it's fascinating. I found it very, very interesting. Rich Honan is corporate attorney, and he pays us a visit once a month or so to share some thoughts on headlines from the business world. Today he's here to talk about something that we talked about last time he was here, which was about consumer debt. We started off talking about student debt or consumer debt, and then we talked about student debt, and then we talked about the amount of money that professors and adjunct professors get.
Well, the amount of money that college is costing and kind of why is that?
Right.
And we were going along fine up until then.
And then Rich made a statement, and then all hell broke loose. And then we're going to talk about it again today. So to help sort us, to help sort all this out, we welcome Rich Honan with Phillips Lytle LLP, where he's partner in charge of the Albany office. Rich, always great to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks.
All right. So where did we go wrong?
We didn't. I did. Because you. All right. So
I defended my faith.
Yes. I said something very, very wrong. Now, it was wrong. Now, understand that a lot of times when I'm on here, I say things that you and your listenership may consider wrong. But
there's a philosophical difference.
Yeah, right. This was inaccurate. This was as wrong as wrong can be.
Factual error.
Right. And what I said, what we were talking about was, you know, why are colleges so expensive? And I said, well, you know, they're building buildings and they're paying. And then I said, I think the infamous words were, and, you know, they have the college professors and then the adjuncts have a good gig. And you immediately leapt to the defense of adjuncts, as well as we got a lot of emails on it, pointing out mainly in 7-letter words. That
yes.
By the way, do you know that reference? No, it was a 7-letter word. It's from a movie. It's from a movie. It's a black and white movie. If anybody knows that for real without going to the internet, no, it was a 7-letter word. Email me and I'll give $100 to your favorite charity.
Really? Okay?
It was a. However, the 7-letter word referred to in the movie was not the 7-letter word referred to in our correspondence. No, and a lot of people, adjuncts. A lot of adjuncts called and said, you're nuts, you're crazy. Everybody knows that it's actually a terrible gig, and adjunct professors are really being, you know, abused by the colleges who are using these underpaid and overworked people to try and basically kind of make the college's numbers. You know, they keep raise tuition, but they're not paying these people, you know, much of anything. So I was wrong. And going back to our process, what I do when I'm wrong is I go and I went and researched it again. Especially when you find that somebody's making a documentary based on the blog The Homeless Adjunct.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you know you were really wrong.
I just want to interject two things. Just two quick things. One is that I want to, obviously, just so everyone knows where I am on this conversation. So I'm an adjunct, but also I'm also a very happy adjunct. And you use the word abuse, and I certainly understand that point of view, but I really think it also depends, because I have been nothing but been cared for and tended to.
Right.
And I have to say that I cannot in any way, shape, or form, because, you know, I think a lot of us get into this knowing what it's going to be, right? You know what it's going to be. You know what it is. And I feel nothing but and I'm not just saying this. I really do feel
No,
this
I know
way.
You like it. You speak very,
like,
very highly of it.
I love the experience. And, you know, don't let them hear this. For God's sakes, but I if they
you would
didn't,
do it for free.
I would do it for free.
Absolutely.
I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy the people that I work with, and the college and the department have been nothing but lovely. So you know, when you talk about abuse, I understand of sort of the culture of that, but as far as personal experiences, I think there's a lot of us who do it who just, you know, enjoy doing it.
Oh yeah, and listen, and I have never been an adjunct, but I lecture at Albany. Yeah, right.
Well, I think you're. I think that ship may have sailed, right, Rich. Right.
But you know, I lecture at Albany Law School. I've gone to classes at, or you know, I've spoken to classes, you know, at St. Rose and RPI and, yes. And you know what I
and you're very good
at Albany State. Well, but point and I love it and it's great. But if I but having heard all this, if I had to depend on this as my primary source of income, it would be difficult. Especially since a lot of adjuncts, you know, really, you know, they like what they're teaching. I'm sure they like the kids and everything. They would just like to be treated a little differently. So I started looking more deeply into the economics, and there's not much to be said on the fact that you know, the average, you know, $2,700 for, you know, a three credit class.
Right.
And the other interesting thing is since 1969, as late as 1969, about 70 to 80% of the professors were tenured track people, kind of non-adjunct tenured track. And now, by 2010, 2011, that had flipped to the point where only 19 to 20% of the people teaching on campuses are tenure track, and a lot, and the rest are either adjuncts or kind of non-tenure professors. The whole industry is getting away from kind of, you know, highly paid professors, or at least, you know, fairly paid professors. So the question to me as a business guy said, well, then what are they spending the money on? Right.
If it's not that, what?
Right. I have a college-bound senior, you know, in my family, so I know real well, you know, what things cost, and it turns out at least one of the things that apparently they are spending a lot of money on is administrators. And at the same time that colleges were flipping their kind of proportion of tenured track to adjunct professors, from 1987 to 2011, colleges throughout the United States were adding 87 people a day, 87 people a day, over half a million people in kind of non-teaching roles, administrative and other types of employees, to the point now where, and if you read the literature, they talk about, sure, they'll pay their adjunct $2,700, but meanwhile there's an under assistant provost, you know, deputy assistant of this, and there, you know, there's four administrators for every professor, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of where the economics are going, so the process of kind of making education, right? The process of kind of running a college seems to have overtaken the actual substance of delivering, you know, of teaching.
So is the term top heavy applicable?
I would call it bottom heavy, but yeah. But yes, top heavy meaning, you know, administrators, you know, basically non-core personnel, you know, non-teaching personnel. Pay for that, you can see where colleges are reaching more deeply into the ranks of adjunct professors. There's a lot of literature on, you know, how do you fix it, and it's unfixable, and you know, now we're up to, you know, $1 trillion in student debt, and something has to keep feeding that $1 trillion, which actually there's more money in student debt than there is in credit card debt right now.
Right.
I actually think it's
which is sickening.
It really is, you know. Yeah. And you know, it's difficult. You think there would be a fix. It seems like the fix would be, okay, so why don't you, you know, pay your adjuncts better. You know, there are people who teach and who do what it is that your organization does. Why don't you pay them better? Maybe have fewer of, make them more, basically, instead of a lot of part-time people, why don't you have some more full-time people? And then also, why don't you buy into the fact that maybe colleges should be about teaching as well as research, right? So you have a lot of, you know, but... So that's kind of I was interested to see how that economics had flipped. You know, you were saying top heavy. You know, process over substance.
It is. It's an interesting thing because it's suddenly become a big debate. And I'm curious because it not that it shouldn't become a big debate. All I'm saying is that it seemed to have suddenly become a big debate. I know people have been working on it for some time, but it seems as though the numbers are what are really making consumers take notice, that the number of the percentage of adjuncts that are being used, the percentage right. of and what those individuals are being paid.
Right. I'm sorry. And the whole process is under more scrutiny. Wait, let me answer that, because the process is. But I didn't say this before. If I didn't say this before very clearly, okay, I absolutely, unconditionally, irrevocably was wrong on that, and I apologize to every adjunct professor whose efforts I denigrated. As I told one of the many interested people who wrote in, I said, "Yeah, that was kind of a swing and a miss by me." But I don't know that he modified his characterization at all.
I don't think, and God knows, I don't, you know, I don't want to start this up again. But it does seem to me that, you know, I think what you were saying is that. Maybe that it's not a good gig, but it could be a good gig, right? I mean,
It should be. And, you know, back in my it used to be, and for certain people it still is, because back in, you know, 30 years ago when I started practicing law, you did have some kind of older lawyers who would have an adjunct, you know, business law gig somewhere. But back in those days, you know, some of these guys had already been in the state or county system, so they could go to a state school and continue to vest. And it was so it can be a good gig. But I don't know that it's in the financial interest of the schools to do that. Getting back to why this is under scrutiny now, one, the unsustainable level of student debt, has gathered, you know, kind of garnered attention. But the other thing is, with the recession that everybody keeps insisting we're out of, we have many, many, many more kids who have come out of college and just aren't getting jobs, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking 4, 5, 6 years out of college not getting jobs, you know, living with their parents, being on their parents' health care, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, the kind of reverse economics of higher tuition, higher administrative costs, and worse outcome being, you know, getting a job. Right. Is what's making people really look into this. So I think that's why we're looking at it. And one of the things you see is, you know, just there's a lot of money spent on the delivery of the service as opposed to the service itself, right? Which is something. And as you look into this, you know, where's, you know, the point, the segment does have a point. The point of this segment has always been, to talk about the, you know, in the business context, you know, how does this apply to business and to society on at a greater level. And you really see we spend a lot more time on process than on, you know, the core service in business, in politics, in technology. I didn't see it as much until I started doing this research, but, you know, I see, we have a law firm, we have, you know, 400 people, you know, less than half of them are lawyers, right? Now, yes, it takes people to deliver, you know, that service. But then I look at, you know, I look at education, which we just talked about. I look at politics, right? You know, I mean, how many support people are under the legislators, you know, and right, you know, government,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It seems that we're spending a lot more time on process than in actually dealing with the core, you know, the core issues.
I guess to your point, and I think it's well taken, is that okay? So this segment is, we talk about business practices, mm-hmm. and it's important to realize, right, that college is a business.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's a business. We don't want to necessarily think of it in that context, but if you are a private college, or if you are a, well, I guess even, I mean, any way you look
anywhere
at it, it's a business.
Joe, I'll go further. Education's a business, right?
Sure.
I mean, we're having this debate, the Common Core, and should you take the test, and whenever people are voting on their school budget, right? Bring it down to the local level. You vote on your school budget. Nobody wants to pay teachers less, right? And yet, the teacher salary is often a very, very, very small part of the overall school budget, right? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is the part of the school budget that you're voting for, right? It is usually not, the largest part of your school costs. But in the education, it's a business. And every business now, it seems to be that the delivery of it is overtaking the service itself. So that's why you see lots of administrators and, union leaders or whoever, and you don't see teachers really kind of on the forefront, getting the lion's share of, the money or the, the attention.
So we've only been on the air for 12 minutes, but now I'm getting the mail. So,
okay. Quick.
It didn't take long. But it's a good point. So we got a letter taking me to task for saying it's easy for you who have a full-time job and teach your class for enjoyment. For those of us who have to cobble together a living, it's a much darker world. I just wish you had acknowledged that you don't need your class to pay your bills. It helps. I will say that.
Right.
Like it does,
but that's why I enjoy it, but I don't, I'd sure look at it a lot differently if I had to depend on that as my primary source
right.
of income.
I say most of us need the work, and being a contingent faculty member is very, very difficult. And I think we've made that point, that there are certainly people with different, and I also think it's a departmental thing too. I think that in different departments where different specialties, whether they want someone with a certain specialty to say, okay, we want you to teach this and perhaps go out for an adjunct as opposed
right.
to someone who is...
I think it's more institutional. I think it's institutional. And it's funny, in college, one of the things you hear me and other, non-left-wing people rail about is how the liberal school of thought on college campuses, right? We're always saying, oh, college campuses, hotbeds of,
right.
of liberalism and, God forbid, socialism. And that's where you get a lot of the thoughts about, pay inequity and the inequality of the wealth gap and the funny thing is right in their business model they have this unbelievable wealth gap, right? Where what does the president of a college get paid? You always hear about, well, the CEO is being paid this versus the lowest level worker. What's the president of a college being paid versus the adjunct professor?
Yeah,
right. Yet it's like you say, it's a business. You don't like to think of it that way.
The fascinating part about all of this, I think, is that and this goes back to an earlier point that I was making, and that is that I think, and to your credit, I mean, you did a lot of investigation on this, but I think, you get I'll get in trouble for this, too, but what the heck, is that I think people sit down in those offices when they're going into a college. And it becomes monopoly money at some point. You sit down and you start until you actually start realizing what kind of money you're talking about, of putting out that money. There's perhaps this scholarship is available and that scholarship is available and this is coming in and that's coming in but we can set you up for this loan. We can set you up for that. You can do this, you can do that. Yeah. And then suddenly you realize you're talking $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
Well,
that's a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah. Look, absolutely. And I will say this even if people have the purest of intentions. And by the way, most people do.
Yes.
Okay? There's something different about about being in charge of somebody else's money than being in charge of your own money. I keep coming back, our business, a law firm, at the end of the day, we have, 70 or 80 partners, we own, and at the end of the day, we're spending our own money and each other's money. All right. That's a big difference between somebody who's sitting in a college and has a budget of, $14 million for their department. Okay. And,
right.
and it's coming. And obviously they're trying to spend that money responsibly. But you spend that a lot differently. You think about that a lot. A lot differently. Sometimes, it's funny. Sometimes we'll spend things within our firm because even though it's not good for, you know, it's maybe not something we currently benefit from. It's, you know, it's something that'll be better down the line, you know, paying, you know, first year associates more money, all that kind of stuff. That and I don't know that you have necessarily that mindset when you're, you know, because you're spending money now. And you're spending other people's money. It doesn't make you a bad person, but I think that's a longer way of saying what you're saying. It's monopoly money. Any money that's not yours is monopoly money. You want to make it not monopoly, make it yours.
Well, right, but I think even when it is your money, because it's eventually going to be your debt. But I think with the way it's sold to
you... Oh, I'm sorry, you're saying that the kids...
Walk into those offices and there's, oh, well, you know, you can afford this, you do...
Oh, sure.
You know, and just sign this paper. And then suddenly, you know, then it becomes very real.
And the problem is, it does, and I'm going through this, you know, on a personal level, because I, you know, I'm a college bound senior, and I taught, and you know, I think of us when we went to college. I had to borrow money, like everybody else, and we signed, and you know, we laughed about it because you'd see the promissory note, and you'd say like, oh my, I'm gonna still be paying this off in 1997. You know, that's 30 years from now. You know,
And
so my point is, I don't know that you even have the you don't really have the tools to even understand it then. You know, when you understand it, you know, 9 months after you get out of school and you get the thing from Sally Mae or whoever, and you're saying, oh my God, $600 a month?
What have I gotten myself into?
Right. And so that's difficult. And in the same way, now it's funny though, Joe, when bankers had those, when people were taking out mortgages that they couldn't afford, we blamed the predatory lenders. We blamed the bankers. Nobody in your scenario is blaming, you know, the provost of, you know, such and such a college, you know, who's, you know, taking these kids on the tours and, you know, showing them the nice pictures. Nobody's blaming nobody. We're less apt to blame, you know, the college faculty or the college administrator than we are the banker who sells somebody the house they can't afford. But, you know, what's really the difference?
I think that's a great point. I mean, obviously you have choices.
Sure.
But you had choices, you know, you had choices in the other scenario as well when it comes to mortgages.
And I'd argue, and listen, people in education are there because they want to educate people. I mean, people who run college, they're there for the kids or, you know, the student. I get that, you know. But remember, the people that they're talking to are, you know, truly unworldly in things like finance. And, you know, a lot of them are moving out of their house for the first time.
Well, that's what I worry about. There's a vulnerability, yeah. I think, that comes
and they don't mean to. So don't send the emails, right? I'm not saying that every college is out there to take advantage of the kids, all right? Just save that one. Okay.
Suddenly we sound like we're just like two grizzled guys that just been like flooded with mean emails.
Right.
We understand. We do understand.
Right. But so it's difficult. You know?
It is. Okay. I guess we're out of time. All right, we're out of time. But probably not a moment too soon. Rich Onan is partner in Phillips Lytle LLP, where he's partner in charge of the Albany office. And for more information on the firm, if you'd like to get in on the ground level, you can visit their website. It's PhillipsLytle.com. Rich, I thank you very much. I thank you for doing all the homework and for studying up and for doing the research and coming back and setting the record straight. I assume we'll move on to a next topic next time.
Yes.
Unless
I make another mistake.
Well, we'll know in mere minutes. Rich, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back right after this.